Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include fitness classes, community education, information, and referral. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to the Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos. And Otto and Deborah just had a wonderful interaction in reference to, you know, how we're aging, how we're incorporating. I'm not saying incorporating grandchildren from the perspective that, like, we're using them. You love them, and they're part of your life. But I have a question in reference to that, what Otto was talking and what Deborah was talking about. Do we know how socialization is helping us as we're doing it? Like, is the senior who joins a senior center, or in Otto's case, Otto starts talking to his grandchildren and then they reach back to him. Are they aware? Like, the other night I went for a vaccine, my second vaccine, and my 10-year-old grandson came with me. And my daughter the next day told my wife, she says, his name is Lucas. Lucas always helps daddy. And he does. He's a wonderful boy. We have a good time together. And she said he always makes them happy when he's around them. And I understand it and I know it. But when you're saying in reference to generalization, in reference to seniors, do seniors know this is helping them and therefore say, guess what? I want to have more time with my grandkids or my neighbor or somebody who's bringing me, you know, happiness.
You know, a lot of people don't go through life and they don't realize these things, right? We all do this. It's not like some do and some don't. We all do this. So are people aware of this? Probably not. It's not something that's been talked about. How many times has anyone heard the term generativity and said, I think I'll apply that to my life? We don't generally do that. However, by engaging in activities that we enjoy with others, it's the meaningful connections really that's the crux of everything. So if you go to a senior center and you're completely disengaged and you sit by yourself, you're not going to be experiencing the pleasure that you can get from others. You have to engage in a meaningful connection. Now that can be one person or it can be four or 10, but it doesn't matter the number. It matters that you have a connection that's meaningful. Okay. So if you are aware of the importance of meaningful connections, then you can engage in it. Anytime we're aware of something, it makes us want to do it more, just by being aware of it. And acknowledging it continues it. Then we tend to just do it more and more. We say, oh yeah, I liked that. I'm gonna do more of that. So if you sit at a table at a senior center with others and happen to turn to your left or your right and you talk to somebody and you say, oh, I kind of enjoyed that, you're going to go back and sit at that table again and engage a little bit more. A meaningful connection can take some time. But this is what's important, and this is why it's so important to have the opportunity to be engaged, whether that's with your grandchildren. And I don't want to diminish that. That is important. And here's why some of that is so important. We've passed down, the religion has passed down our values, our culture for centuries. And it's because of parents and grandparents passing everything along. So I'll give you an example. I had my kids videotaping grandma who lives with us. Almost all the time, except during the pandemic, she had to move out while they went to school, but she does the recipes. They know what the holidays feel and taste like. This is why we have recipes that are, you know, we don't even know when they started, and they keep getting passed down and passed down and passed down. This is how religion is passed down. So Christopher Bellito talks about, when he talks about aging and the Bible, he talks about all of the mentors in the Bible and how the things that were talked about in the Old Testament and he really talks about the Old Testament, but how that moves, has moved forward and how that works all the way to today. And these are the sorts of things that we take for granted that we don't really think about. But the minute we start to acknowledge, I like that person to the left at the table. I love spending time with my grandkids. You know what? I'm going to make sure that I tell them about this, that, or the other thing that I went through or that my parents went through. And you're not just leaving that kind of a legacy, but you're passing on your values and your culture at the same time. So if you're talking about St. Patrick's Day and what your family has always done, these are not trivial to the next generation. They haven't experienced them yet. And this,
you know, you've used the magic word that we've used on this show a lot of times, engaged. We have said so many times that the guests who come on the show are very engaged in what they do. And you can tell who you're talking to about how engaged are they really, or are they just drifting through this whole process, if you will. That's life. I mean, the more you get engaged in it, the better it is. You know, if you sort of drift through, it's kind of like you're not taking advantage of it.
That's so true, Otto. And that's one of the keys for coping with, you know, negative affect or feeling down or blue or depressed, is that when you're feeling down or blue or depressed, you disengage. That's what most people do. They withdraw. Keeping yourself engaged is a buffer for that. That helps you. You can draw on the energy from others. Every time you engage, you feel better. So yes, engagement is key. And that is a buffer for negative affect, for sure.
You know, I read something. I don't want to, I'm not a psychologist, but I read this thing, the loyalty generativity scale, LGS. And I looked at there's 6 questions. Do you get involved with that idea? You know, the questions to me, I looked at them and they really all kind of make you think about, well, what do I do? You know, pass along knowledge you've learned, create things that have an impact on others, try to teach others skills. Would you adopt a child? Which was an interesting question. And then improve the neighborhood you live in. And will your contributions exist after you die? I think if people ask themselves those 6 questions, it would kind of make you think quite a bit about where your life is at and maybe things you might think about doing that you haven't been doing.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you said adopt a child. I worked with someone who did not have children of his own. He lived alone and he didn't have any extended family. And what he did was he essentially adopted the neighbor kids. They came over. So it doesn't have to be literally go out and adopt someone, but he had the neighbor kids come over, and he was a really fastidious guy who had a really well-kept home. And I went to visit to see him, and there was a guinea pig on his table that the kids brought over. And they were eating ice cream completely sloppily. And it was the antithesis of how he had been before. And he was the happiest guy on the planet. He brought out a special china for these kids when they would come over to have their ice cream and bring their animal and put it on the table. And it was pure joy. I mean, just thinking about it, it makes me smile and feel happy again, because that was the joy that he received when he had them over. It was just a completely different scene than I had ever seen there before. And it was a weekly event. When he did pass away years later, the kids went to the funeral. And I was surprised, because they weren't very old, and they came and they actually spoke about him, and it was really touching. So these are the sorts of things that we don't really think about, but adopting a child can mean just hanging out with your neighbors.
Deborah, how? That's a great story. And my question is, how does something like that commence? You know, a person is trained basically all their life, maybe from their parents, their grandparents, you got to do this, you got to be neat, you can't let somebody into your life. You know, some of the, like in that situation, I'm looking at that situation as a man who really went outside his boundaries. you know, it was so fastidious, and then he let these kids in to realize the joy. What's the impetus? Like, if I'm with a senior, what's the impetus for me to turn around? You know, I know it's your personality, and you talk to people. It's like, get a cat, get a puppy. I'm going all over the place with this, but my question is, where is the wake-up call for a senior to turn around and say, I got to change, because how many more years do I have? Why can't I enjoy them?
For him, he was 90.
Wow.
And he said, I mean, he lived quite a few years later or longer, but he had everything he wanted. He had a nice place. He had the money that he needed, but he was lonely. And he wasn't depressed, but he was lonely. And so he just knocked on the door of the neighbor's apartment and said, hey, I have some extra ice cream here. Would you guys like some? And of course, what child says no to that? They came over, and then he said, okay, come every Wednesday. Now keep coming. And then it became a relationship where they would just run in and out of his apartment. But every Wednesday was ice cream and the fancy bowl day. And that's how it commenced. He just thought, what do I have to lose, really? And it was a lasting relationship with the whole family, but mostly with the three kids.
Interesting stuff. You figure he's 90 years old, he's not too late.
It's never too late. Right. I can't tell you how many people I work with who are 90 and older. And people, you know, we have some ageism is thinking that you can't change at any age, or that you can't improve, or you can't feel good, or there's nothing, that there's a time limit on when you can do the things that you need to do. And that is just simply not the case. It does not matter what age you are. You can improve in how you feel. You can improve in your connections with others. And you always, always have the opportunity to leave your mark on the world the way that you want. And that never, there's never an age limit on that.
I agree 1,000%. I also think it's important to realize that you don't know everything, first of all right? Just because you're older doesn't mean you know everything. There's a lot more to know. And I think the desire to want to keep learning about what's going on around you, or frankly, we keep pushing technology. You know, if you have grandchildren who live in Oregon, they're not just going to pop in. So you really helps to learn how to do Zoom or anything that'll help you communicate, even just a phone call. But do it, learn how to use it. You know, you should keep learning. I mean, life is just, you know, it's a constant learning curve, in my opinion.
And you also, and I want to talk about that when we come back, you have to step outside your comfort zone. I think at a given point in life, you got to step outside it and get into your discomfort zone, and maybe you'll go back, but you have to give it a shot. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.